Well, good morning again. And this is week four. Joe did week three last week of our series Catchphrase. Got two more weeks of this series. And let's do a little review from last week. So who remembers last week's phrase? I see Joe remembers it. I got to see a hand up here in the front. That 2 weeks ago. Yes. So we had eat the scroll, kick the goads, and then, Joe? A law unto themselves. So I'm going to change the language for our catchphrase this week, and let's do a Hebrew word, shall we? Or two Hebrew words. So the phrase for this Sunday is lek lecha. Can I hear you all say lek lecha? So the same homework that we've had from the beginning of this series, work it into a sentence. Okay? That's your homework. So let me hear you all say this phrase again. And what exactly does this word mean? Please help us. This phrase comes from a story that I find endlessly fascinating. And it's a story that it can be quite familiar, but I think what happens is when there's a story that's familiar, we kind of breeze past it. Oh yeah, I know what that story is about. I know the truth of that story. But this story is one that has stuck with me for years, especially this phrase. And it takes place very early in the Bible, specifically Genesis chapter 12, known as the Call of Abram. Now, this is also, maybe you've heard of him as Abraham. Before Abraham became Abraham, he was named Abram. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It begins, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you.'" Now, the word go, or some translations will say go forth, that's where we get the Hebrew, or that's where the Hebrew word is found, lek lecha. So you could say that lek lecha means to go or go forth. So God comes, he speaks to Abram, and he says, lek lecha, from everything that you know. And here's what I'm going to do. Oh, and not only just leave, but go to the place I'll show you. In other words, there's no map here. There's no GPS, there's no Siri telling him where to go, or that British voice telling him which way to turn, or when you made a, you know, when it has to reroute because there's a lot of camels in front of you. So here's how the story begins. "And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." I mean, how many of you, if you're hearing this, yeah, sign me up for that. I mean, who doesn't want to be blessed? Who doesn't want to have their enemies cursed? But at the same time, doesn't this raise a whole bunch of questions? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's finish the scripture first. So whoever curses you, oh, sorry, there was one more. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. In other words, you'll be a conduit of blessing for the world. You'll be a channel of grace. Is this not what the church is supposed to look like as well? A channel of grace for the world. Not yelling at people, telling them when they've got it wrong or how they're thinking the wrong things, but rather to be a beacon of hope, a place of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness, extending an olive branch to others, saying, hey, let's talk about this, not condemning others. And this is very early, or this is before Jesus, but yet this is the story of the Bible. God is looking for a people, a group of people that will be a blessing for the entire world. This is how the story begins. It's how the story continues, and it finds its fulfillment in the person of Jesus. And now we as the church have been tasked to continue this mission. This is why we do what we do here at Awaken, because we want others to experience the blessing and the grace of God through our lives. Continues. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. There's no other conversation here. We don't know what his internal chatter was. I'm sure there would have been a lot of it. Go, Abram went. He took Lot with him, which is his nephew. Abram was 75 years old. 75 years old. He wasn't a spring chicken. He's been around for a while. 75, he's like, yeah, I'm ready for a new adventure. I mean, sometimes by the time we turn 75, normally it's, ooh, when's the early bird special happening? But yet here's Abram, and he's like, sign me up for it. 75, no problem. I got this. I'm going to go. So he set out from Haran, and he took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they'd accumulated. I'm assuming they didn't have all the possessions that we have in the 21st century. I'm assuming they traveled a little lighter than we travel. Imagine packing up all your possessions. I mean, you know how it goes. We had to move our entire house last year. Oh, my goodness. I'm hoping Abram didn't have to make the journey with as much stuff as we've accumulated in our house. And that was with purging as well. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Okay, let's break this down a little bit. First, let's go one slide here. We'll talk about this word, lek lekha. As I mentioned, it's the word that's translated into English, go forth. Now, this isn't a week go. By week, I mean W-E-A-K week. It's not like go. It's not a whisper, but rather this is go forth now. This communicates a sense of urgency, immediacy. This is like there's a tornado coming in. The sirens are going off. Find shelter. Don't waste any time. When God speaks to Abram and says, lek lekha, it means drop everything you're doing. I don't care what you have going on in your life. I don't care what you have in the schedule next week, next month. Forget about it. Cancel it. Leave right now. So Abram went. He dropped it all, packed it up. The next day, 5 a.m., he was out with his family traveling to Canaan. And here is Vayelech Avram, which means Abram went. And I read this book called The Gift of the Jews by Thomas Cahill. Highly recommend it. One of my favorite books, all-time favorites. I had Steph read it. She said one of her favorite books as well. So if you need so Lek Lekha to buy Gift of the Jews by Thomas Cahill. Lek Lekha, like immediately. Like, why aren't you ordering it right now on your phones? And what Cahill says in the book is these words are some of the boldest words in all literature. Because this is movement in a new direction. And here's what I mean by that. Let's go one slide, and let's take a look at a map. Go one more. Okay. So notice, do you see Ur right down there? Kind of towards your right, a little below Mesopotamia by the Persian Gulf. So this is where Abram's family starts. And actually, let's go back in the story to Genesis chapter 11 and go back one more slide for me. Sorry. Terah took his son Abram. So we have Abram. Now his father is Terah. And he took his grandson Lot, his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram. Together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. Okay, so originally, before Abram's given this message to go forth, Abram's entire family set out from Ur in order to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. So Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. So when God speaks to Abram, the family is residing in Haran, but they were originally supposed to go on a trip from Ur all the way to Canaan, but they stopped in Haran, and they hadn't left there. So let's go back to that map. We have Ur down there, and if you notice the arrow up to Haran, and then there's the other arrow down to Canaan. So Abram's family was originally supposed to go. They had a one-way ticket with a layover from Ur to Canaan. They stopped at Haran. Now, here's why this is important. Let's go one more slide. Haran, it's on a major trade route. So this is a major cosmopolitan city. Haran is like the place to go. Canaan, not so much. Haran was the place that everyone wanted to be at because there's all these different cultures coming together. Think New York City. It's a mixing pot of all these cultures, all these people coming together. Haran was also a major site of moon god worship, which I know some of you have that in your past as well. Moon god goes by the name of Sin, which is a great name for a god, is it not? And Abram, Sarah, all their siblings, even Lot, their names are associated with moon god worship. So when we meet Abram in the beginning of the story, his family has settled in Haran, and they're worshiping the moon god Sin. This is the backstory of Abram. Abram has no idea who this new God is, because the only thing his family has ever known, the only God this family really has worshipped, although they might have been polygamous, but the only family, polytheists, actually, sorry about that one, got that one mixed up. But the only thing that Abram and his whole family have ever known, yeah, it's all right, don't worry about it. They probably were polygamous as well, you know, I mean, come on. It's the ancient world, a couple thousand years ago. The only thing they've ever known is about is Sin, the moon god. And Canaan was considered to be barbaric. So here's how I equate it. Let's go one more slide. Imagine this is Haran. What's this a picture of? Yeah, I mean, how many people you go and you're like looking up at everything? You can tell who the tourists are. They have their phones out. So God basically tells Abram, go from this to, one more slide, this. Now, full disclaimer, I just randomly chose North Dakota because I felt like it was something that was complete opposite of New York and Manhattan. And as I was scrolling through pictures of North Dakota, it is beautiful. I was like, man, I want to take a trip to North Dakota. But, I mean, look at this, just open fields. There's nothing here. So God is saying, go to this place I'm going to show you. You're going to go from the cultural epicenter, moon god worship, to some new place that you have no idea where it's going to go. And remember, Canaan was considered to be barbaric at the time. Why would anyone want to go to Canaan? Here's what the Mesopotamians had to say about Canaan. As people who ate their meat raw and didn't even know how to bury their dead. This is a backwards people, according to the cultural assumptions at the time. No one in their right mind would go from the height of culture all the way to the bottom or below the bottom of culture. Haran to Canaan is a move in the wrong direction. You have a corner office, and now you're being forced, you're being jammed into a little cubicle with no windows. This is a move away from all the things that as a culture we value today, what cultures have valued from the beginning of history. And what I find fascinating about this story, not only is it a move in the wrong direction culturally, but go one more slide. Here's the map again. Notice this. From Haran to Canaan, you're moving in which direction? Compass direction. You're moving west. Now, we're going to have to go back a couple of weeks. I think it was it Kick Against the Goads 2 weeks or 2 or 3 weeks ago? I forget which one it was. We talked about people moving eastward. Do we remember this? So in the Bible, in Genesis, a move eastward, and we find this right in the beginning of Genesis, right after the Garden of Eden, people begin moving eastward. Eastward was considered to be the direction away from God. After the Garden of Eden, people moved east. Genesis 11, as they're building the Tower of Babel, people continued to move eastward. Right after the Tower of Babel, we now come to the story of Abram. Which direction is Abram being called to move in? West. It's a call back to God. It's a call back to who humanity was created to be. Two of the boldest words in all literature. Instead of going in humanity's own direction, the way in which humanity saw fit, creating a path for themselves, now humans, Abram, and the group that will follow after him are being called to return to the people that God had created them to be, a people of blessing for the world. It's almost as if God's saying, you know, life isn't all about what you can get, about your success, your possessions. Life is meant to be lived in a way that brings blessings to others, that brings hope to the lives of others. Who we are as humans, who we are deep down within, the truest humanity, is a picture of bringing hope, healing, grace, mercy, and love to others. Humanity had been moving in an opposite direction. God is now looking to form a group of people who will move and return back to who they've been created to be. Let's go one slide here. Now, I mentioned this. This story raises all sorts of questions. Here's three of them, and there's plenty more here. First, why would Abram have followed an unknown God or an unknown voice to an unknown destination? Remember, Abram and his family, they know only about the moon god Sin. All of a sudden, this new voice speaks, and Abram goes. He would have had no knowledge of who this God was. No one's worshiping Yahweh. No one's worshiping this God at Haran at this time. They only know about the moon god. So why would Abram have actually left? A second question, how did he recognize this voice? There's been over 100 years of silence from Yahweh. If you read in the Bible, God spoke, but now there's over 100 years of silence. Again, how would anyone distinguish, recognize this voice? This isn't common. This isn't something that is known in the world at this time. And then another question, kind of two questions. Why would he leave everything behind? Why would he leave behind his family? Why would he leave behind this culture? Maybe he has a job. He has a good paying job. Why would he leave that behind to go to a new destination? Why would he drop it all? Which I think the larger question is, well, what was going on in his life that caused him to say, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to follow this voice. Let's go another slide. Genesis 11:30, I think, gives a little insight into this. Now, Sarah, his wife, was childless because she was not able to conceive. If you live in the ancient world and you're sick or you're not able to conceive, what was the belief at this time? It was the belief that the gods were against you. So for Abram, he has a wife. She's not able to get pregnant. They're not able to have children, to have a family. And so there is this belief, well, we must have done something wrong in our life. For some reason, God must be against us. This was a common belief in the ancient world. The gods are angry with you. You need to do things to appease them. But there's an added factor here in the ancient world as well, and it's the fact that your fate, your future is fixed, and it was determined by the stars. So they were all into horoscopes, like some of you might be today. However the stars were configured on the day in which you were born, that is what determined your future, and there's nothing you could do to change it. So when Abram and his wife Sarah were born, the stars must have been configured in the sky in a certain way that cursed them for their entire life. So Abram had this hanging over him throughout his entire time there in Haran. My wife can't get pregnant. You think the neighbors would have been whispering a little bit? Ooh, I wonder what they did. Why were their births cursed? Why were they considered unlucky? It was all about the stars in the ancient world, and the stars determine your future. That's why a little bit further in the story, Genesis chapter 15, God takes Abram out into the night sky, and what does he tell him to look at? The stars. One slide here, Genesis 15, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. In other words, God is changing the narrative. God is changing the story. God is saying, yeah, I know this is what you were told. I know you were told that you can't change the future, that this is your lot in life. This is how it's always going to be. But I'm here to tell you that is wrong. And I have a better future to lead you into. Let's go one more slide. See, here's what I believe. When I read this story, I think Abram had within his heart hope. He was carrying around a bucket of hope. And there is this belief that Abram held on to that, you know what? I think tomorrow can be different than how it is today. I mean, here's a couple of phrases that I think Abram would have believed, that the past didn't have to define him, that where he'd been didn't dictate what his future was going to look like. Probably held on to this belief, if he was willing to follow this God, wherever this God was going to lead him, the belief that, well, maybe the gods really aren't against me. Maybe that was just some story. Maybe this God can actually redeem and restore my life. So he had at least an ounce of hope, maybe even more, because he said, you know what? I'm going to leave this. I'm going to break free, and I'm going to start anew. Let's go one more slide. And let's go one more. I forget why I put a map there. Notice this. The whole family sets out, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. You know anyone in life who was simply settled for how things are? Maybe you've experienced this in life before, where you've simply just settled. This is how it is, and this is how it's always going to be. You know, unfortunately, I see this too often. You hear it in conversations with people. Hey, how are things? How's life? And here's a couple of phrases that I typically hear from people. Yeah, I'm just surviving. Just surviving. And that breaks my heart. And look, I get it. Sometimes when you got kids, you got a lot going on in life, you are just surviving. I understand that. Yes, it happens. Sometimes you're just trying to make ends meet. But that shouldn't be a constant, perpetual thing. We weren't meant to just survive. And unfortunately, there's a part of the population of this world that is the only life they will ever know. Because that is an unfortunate reality of the world that we live in. As a follower of Jesus, as people who are meant to bless others, that isn't, I don't believe that's right. I believe we are called to help pull out others out of that just surviving mode, to bring hope to others. But so often I hear people and I'm just surviving. And then other times, you know this phrase, you know, just the same stuff, different day. Sometimes people use a little different phrase than that. But it's just this idea that, yep, life's a routine. Life's a cycle. I get up, go here, do this. Then I go to bed and I just repeat it all the next day. I mean, there's no creativity. There's no hope. There's no imagination. It's the fact that this is how it's always going to be. And there's almost like this sense of despair, this hopelessness when people say these phrases. There's a lack of belief that anything could be different. It's just, I've settled here. This is as good as it's going to get. It's never going to get better. There's no new adventures on the horizon. I mean, I think as a culture, oftentimes we suffer from boredom. Just the same old routine day after day, and we've lost hope that anything could be different. See, for Abram, for those in his culture at the time, for us in our world, sometimes we get caught in a loop of despair, a loop of hopelessness. Like those who lived thousands of years ago, we get caught in this loop of, well, my future is fixed. This was my past, and because of my past, well, now nothing is going to change. Nothing can be different. This is just my future is already determined. So God speaks into this loop of despair with a fresh word and says, it doesn't have to be this way. Life can look different. Tomorrow can change. You can move forward. You can choose to move forward filled with hope and the belief that your life has purpose and has meaning. God doesn't want us to simply settle in Haran. Sometimes we have boredom. Other times, there's a book, Amusing Ourselves to Death. Sometimes we entertain ourselves so much. We sit ourselves in front of a screen. It's another form of settling. It's another form of cutting ourselves off from some of the suffering that's happening in the world. God's like, that's not the best that I have for you. I have a purpose. And so Abram left. He went forward. He chose to trust this voice. I mean, this is the voice of God all throughout Scripture. God breaks into the world and speaks a message of life. Happened with creation, happened with Abram, and I believe it's true for your life as well. There's someone, a good friend of mine, and he was in his late 50s, and he was an extremely successful businessman. Extremely successful, doing quite well for himself. He was known all throughout Hollywood for the work that he was doing. He read a book by the president of World Vision. He finished the book, and he said, I want to be like him. So he retired from his job. Goes against culture. He retired from this job where he was making quite a bit of money. He was known by others. He was high up there. And he's been pursuing this line of work now for a few years. And he said he feels more alive than ever. Late 50s, around the time when we're trying to figure out what are we going to do when we retire? How are we going to just kind of put work to the side? And here he is, and he's saying, I'm ready for a new adventure. Have another friend. He was a drug addict for years, struggled with alcoholism, went to rehab. He's been sober now for years, and now he gives his free time to being a parent of children who don't have or who have been abandoned by their parents. He didn't let his past define him. He didn't look at where he'd been and say, God could never use me. Didn't look at where he'd been and said, that was my past. I could never move forward and do something for the healing of the world. But rather, he chose to walk in a new direction. He chose to leave his past behind, to believe that his fate wasn't fixed, and he moved into a new future where he's now bringing love and life into the lives of children who haven't received that love. There's one thing I leave you with this morning. It's the truth that your life has purpose. Your life has meaning. And if in any way you have settled and you've been living with the belief that this is as good as it gets, or I could never amount to anything, or I could never move beyond this, that's a lie. And the living God desires to breathe new life and a new adventure and hope, purpose into your life. See, I believe God is, to each one of us, speaking, lek lecha. Go forth. There's something that God is calling you into. Sure, it might not be moving away from here. I get it. That's a big thing. And sometimes read the story and like, no, God's not calling me to go to North Dakota. But God is calling you forward into a purpose for your life so that you can be a blessing for others. And I believe as we go forth in whatever way that looks like, you will come to discover a life of joy beyond the same stuff, different day, just surviving mentality that we can get caught in. God is a God of bringing us up out of despair and breathing hope into our bones. Two of the boldest words in all literature, two of the boldest words still in existence today. Go forth. So Abram went. God, I thank you that you are a God of possibility, that you are a God of hope. I thank you that you are a God who brings resurrection and new life to our stories. God, I pray that for all of us here, God, if in any way we have settled, if in any way we have just lived with this mentality that this is as good as it gets, or that we are just fated to live out where we are.
Excuse me, hi.
Hey. God, I just pray that that would be seen for the lie that it is. God, that we would move forward with a sense of adventure and a deep sense of purpose. And as we go forth into what you are inviting us into, the life that you're inviting us into, may we discover a life of joy for ourselves and a life of blessing for others. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.